Good evening, everyone.
Ooh. It's powerful.
I finally get the mic at Shofar Rendezvous. I don't know what Pastor D and Diana are doing because they're not here. So I don't know if they should be excited I'm preaching or they should be worried. But I was at Pastor D and Liana's house on Monday, and they said, "So, like, when are you going to minister at home?" I was like, "Well, actually, I'm leaving in the next 2 weeks." And then I said, "Maybe next year sometime." And I didn't expect it. I said, "What about this Sunday?" I was like, "Oh, no." And then I said, "In principle, always yes, because Jesus, your Lord, yes, Lord, that's what we do, right? But let me just pray into it." He's like, "Okay, you get till midnight to tell me." And as you guys know, Pastor D, he doesn't take no for an answer unless he's convinced that you prayed through it and that it's God imprisoning it on you. So, and I didn't want to do the Jonah approach. So I said, "I'm willing," and so here am I. And I actually said to him, let me just read that to you. I sent this to him on WhatsApp. So I said to him that in principle, always yes, right? And Lord, Jesus is Lord, so we say yes to him. But I was asking, "Lord, am I meant to share or am I meant to just say no?" I felt like the Lord took me to the scripture in 2 Timothy 4:2. "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Don't worry, there's no rebuking tonight. I feel like the Lord wants to encourage. You can just relax, yeah, and have grace in me. But I remember when I was in the Philippines, I want to share this story. I was with Pastor D and Armand and Mamsi and a few others. I don't know who else are here that were in the outreach last year. We were in the north of Cebu, which is about 4 hours' drive to the airport. And before we left for the Philippine outreach, Pastor D asked me, "Is there anyone that I'm supposed to meet in the Philippines?" And for some reason, Jerome Ocampo's name came into my mind. So then I said, "Maybe Jerome Ocampo?" And then Pastor D was like, "If you don't know who Pastor D is, Pastor Reyna." But he's like, I really felt I'm supposed to meet him. But then we haven't heard back from him. And this was like at the end of the outreach, we're supposed to fly. So this was the Saturday night. He's like asking me, "Are we flying to Manila tomorrow?" I said, "No, we haven't heard from Jerome." And then he said, "No, I think we're supposed to go." But I like, "Oh, I hope we're not going, because that's the next day, Sunday. And then Monday, we're flying back to South Africa." And it was the last day of the team in that part of the Philippines. So to be honest, I was like hoping that Jerome won't email me. And in the morning, the first thing I saw was like an email from Jerome. I was like, "Oh, I didn't realize you guys are leaving. But I'm in Manila, but you're welcome to come." I was like, "Oh, Jesus, do I have to tell Pastor D about this?" I was worried about the implication. I was like, if I tell him yes, then we might have to go. And like we fly the next day back to South Africa. But I said, but if I don't tell him no, oh no, like, I will have to, like, repent and do all those things afterwards. So I had the fear of Pastor D. No, I had the fear of the Lord. So I told him, like, "Well, I heard from Jerome," but then the flight was, like, crazy. It was, like, $200 one way to Manila. And remember, we're 4 hours away from the airport, and Pastor D don't know what Manila is. Traffic is, like, crazy. They call Manila the world's biggest parking lot. You know, so that's like how hectic the traffic is in Manila. Anyways, Pastor D is like, he really felt we should go. I said, "Well, why don't you take a shower, you pray, and I also pray." And Pastor D came out of the shower. "What did you sense God is saying?" I was like, "Oh, I really felt we should go. It doesn't make sense, but let's go anyways." Here we go. We went to the airport, and I asked at the ticket counter, "Is it $200 one way?" I was like, "No way, that's like, it's not worth going for $200 one way, and we have to come back the afternoon, and then that's another, I don't know how much." But then the guard said, "Go to the other desk. There's another airline, it's a code share, so they sold the same flight. It's exactly the same flight, but just sold differently by another airline, and then it was $50. So I said, "Okay, I guess another confirmation." So we're like about to board there, and I messaged Liana, I was like, "I thought I'm crazy, but I think Pastor D is crazier." So I was really encouraged with that, and Armand did a good job with like taking care of the team. But then to have Jerome Ocampo here a few weeks ago, right? that actually came out of that experience. So it's just amazing when we're sensitive to the Lord and we're obedient to Him, that we always check in with Him, that sometimes it doesn't make sense, it's not really logical, but then we come to the Lord and seek Him, and then He bring the confirmation, He bring guidance, and we obey Him. So that's what is our Christian journey is all about. Hearing God, obeying Him, and don't quit, right? Never give up. Hear God, obey Him, never give up. So that's what life is about when you say yes to Jesus. Anyways, we might get here till, we might not finish till tomorrow morning, so let me go. Let me just pray, Jesus, I need you today. I need you tonight. And I just pray that by your Holy Spirit, you speak to us, Lord. Just say, here I am, I'm willing. Yeah, God, just come and speak your word to your people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God. Amen. So I think Matthew introduced, so I'm Verms, I'm from the Philippines. I'm not from China. Some people, when I first came to South Africa, China, China, China. I was like, I'm not from China, I'm from the Philippines. And then they say, Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan. I said, no, Philippines. I said, oh, Philippians in the Bible. No, Philippines is a country in Southeast Asia with 7,107 islands. So it's an archipelago. So if you need a honeymoon, come talk to me. I'll sort you out. So yeah, that's where I'm from. But I've lived in South Africa in the last almost 14 years. So 14 years, actually next year. And this is home. You know, so it really is a joy to be living here in Cape Town. Initially, I thought I only come for 2 months, and I didn't even want to come because, you know, like all people that have never been to Africa, you have this some kind of weird ideas what Africa is, and then get to South Africa, I was like, wow, beautiful. 2 months turned into 6 months, 6 months into 2 years, and 2 years into 14 years. So I work with YWAM, which is a mission organization. It's an international Christian organization that is present in more than 160 countries, probably like one of the biggest mission organizations in the world. Yeah, so I work in Musemburg, but South Africa is just my base because I do travel a lot, and I want to brag about God. So it's not about me, right? And Matthew said, like, this year, actually, I just talked to Christy, who's my flatmate. So, wow, like, I didn't realize, like, I've been in 24 countries this year and traveled about 160,000 miles. So a little bit tired. But God's our strength, and He's our source. And like Matthew said, we don't just travel for the sake of travel. We don't just go places for the sake of going places, but we go for the kingdom, we go with our King. And there's no better place than to be in the will of God and where His presence is. And wherever He's called you, there He is with His presence, right? Because He's everywhere. So I was meditating on like what to share since I didn't have much time. So then I actually had like my own like preaching that you always kind of like just be ready. And so I kind of like have a PowerPoint for that, but I felt like the Lord, give me something else to share tonight. So I just want to ask this question, who is Jesus to you? Think about the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? So maybe you can share with the person next to you, just maybe like short. Yeah, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? If you haven't changed yet, let the other person share. I think it's important to just every now and then pause and reflect. who really is Jesus to us, right? Because we kind of like have all sorts maybe of answers or idea of who Jesus is to us, maybe depending on our experiences. But it's always important that we go back into the Word and asking, who really is Jesus to us? Now, and then my other question is, when was the last time you shared your testimony to someone that doesn't know about Jesus or someone that never heard about him? And so maybe that's something that just a personal assignment to reflect on. I was kind of disturbed because I think it was about a year ago, I work with our discipleship training program. And obviously part of what we do is training people to share who Jesus is to those who's never had the opportunity to hear about the gospel. And then as we were like talking it obviously and encouraging the students, and then I had a dinner with the staff. And I was just like messing up with them. I was like, so when was the last time you shared your testimony? And then later I was like kind of, trapping them. But then I realized, no, actually like I was just joking, but then I said, but actually that's a really important question, because we can talk a lot about sharing the gospel, doing evangelism, our heart for the lost, but really like it just requires a simple application into our day-to-day lives. Are we looking for opportunities to share who Jesus is, what he has done for us, to those who's never heard about him, to those who's not in that relationship with him yet? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted to me. Do you know whom you have believed? And are you convinced? To Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I think we can get so caught up in discussing on what and why we believe, and that's important. And we have Bible school at church that we really wrestle with these questions, right? And like looking at foundations of our faith. But faith is focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity is confidence in the person, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to get clarity on who we believe, and then we will be able to settle on what we believe. The great question that Jesus asked his disciple, and is a scripture from Matthew 16. Matthew 16 from verse 13 actually to 16, yes. So the great question that Jesus asked his disciple is, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? In our family, our colleagues at workplace, maybe classmates at university, their circle of friends, who do people say Jesus is? Who do they say Jesus is? In verse 14, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People will have their different answers, assumptions, depending on what they heard or think about Jesus. They have their opinions, and we see like there's a lot of cults because they have their own opinion with Jesus, and they can back up it with scriptures. When you take scriptures out of context, do a deductive instead of the inductive study. And it's really important that we come back into the Word and know Jesus for who really He is. And I love, it's in the same outreach that I was sharing with you, with Pastor D. We're in the Philippines. I just love his approach. I remember we were like doing outreach this one day. And then there was a Jehovah's Witness. I was like, oh no, like I'm trying to avoid them because I don't want to get into a discussion. And then Pastor D said, oh, let's go, like minister to them. I was like, oh Jesus, like Pastor D. I've grown a lot through being with Pastor D. And then he just went to like the Jehovah's Witness. He didn't get into a discussion with them. And he just said, can I pray for you guys? No, like he just like went straight to them and like pray to them and like share who Jesus is. Now, through praying and ministering to the Jehovah's Witness. And I really learned a lot about that. Because I think, especially with the Jehovah's, right, like they can get really into a lot of discussion and then they can, and if you don't know your word, you can kind of like get confused because they'll quote you scriptures. Also, they'll quote you a part of the scripture. So it's important that when we minister to them, not just like share the love of Jesus and share who Jesus is. And then you can sit to the what and the other stuff afterwards. But come with the power of the name of Jesus. Because that's what makes all the difference. Not going to be our discussion. It's the name of Jesus, who Jesus is. Verse 15. But what about you? Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? And I think it's important, like what I've shared earlier, to reflect on that question and to just get into that habit or practice or whatever you call it, of like sharing it every day, because it'll just come naturally and it was just an outflow of our conversation. No, it's not gonna become this. Sometimes we felt like it's weird because I think we haven't put it into practice every day. No, and as the more you practice about it, the more it will just come natural. And if we really believe of who Jesus said He is, and if we're convinced of what we believe, of whom we believed, I think we won't be fearful, we won't be ashamed. And Romans 1:16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is power and salvation to all those who believe. And we all know that. That is what Jesus has done in each of us. And it's not just enough to believe. I grew up in the Philippines. It's the only country in Asia that, when you read about guidebooks, it's the only Christian nation in Asia because it's not Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, or communist, or socialist. Now, so people always say they're Christians. They always say they believe. But it's because it's more abnormal to actually say you don't believe. So I always tell the team that you don't ask people if they believe in God. You ask if they have a relationship with Jesus. Because then they will notice the difference. And that is very important. Because anyone can believe. But are you convinced? Are you having that personal relationship with Him? Because we know Satan himself believes in God, but doesn't make him a Christian, right? And I think a lot of times we also go through challenges in our journey with God, and we go through challenges in life, and we know we have an enemy that wants to steal, rob, kill, destroy everything that God has done in us. But we know Jesus came to give life and life to His fullness. And how do we overcome the enemy? By declaring who Jesus is, what he's done, the blood of the Lamb. And then second part of that is in Revelation, by the word of our testimony. So it's important to declare what Christ has done. And I think it's maybe a good evaluation in our lives, especially that I realized for myself that the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I need to constantly reflect and evaluate the very foundational truth of who Christ is, right? Because we became so familiar to it that we lost sight of it, that we lost the impact, that it is the most important thing in our lives, that we cannot be standing here and worshiping God without Jesus. It's what Jesus has done in us that enable us to be able to praise Him and to be able to overcome any challenges in life and walk with hope, that regardless of what our present reality, that we continue to look with hope into the future. It's because of what Jesus has done. We sang that earlier, that He is our hope. Jesus is our hope. No, He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our healer. He is our freedom. Jesus is everything. No, but we can get so caught up with our challenges and circumstances. And it's important that we just go back into what and remember what Christ has done. Because we're forgetful people. We can easily forget and we get clouded by our circumstances. And remember the gospel, the classic gospel. And I was like, yes. She's very passionate about that, right? Encounter one. So I did encounter. I know, she's like... it's really important to remember what the classic gospel is. What the gospel is. There's no other gospel. You know, but I said that. So I'm glad. Like, what do you mean, classic gospel? There's only one gospel. No, but we get so confused with all the other things. The other things are the outflow of the gospel. So it's important that we give back into the very foundation of what the gospel is. The gospel is about the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, we are hopeless. And the gospel is the good news because the bad news is really, really, really bad. You guys get that? The bad news is so bad that the good news is so good. And I think in our generation, I remember like in previous generation, they emphasized so much on like, not like hell and all this stuff, and that you're kind of like scared, and that you kind of like almost like give your life to Jesus because you don't want to go to hell. Obviously, wrong motivation. We give our life to Jesus because He is worthy and He's died for us. Now, it's not just our insurance ticket to heaven, right? So, but it's important that we realize that what really the gospel is, that apart from Christ, we are desperate, we're hopeless, we're doomed. That you and I were dead in our sins and our transgressions. Ephesians 2:1. So maybe just put the scripture in Ephesians 2. The wages of sin is death, physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, undeserved favor and mercy, by grace, undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I know that's something maybe that I heard that before, but I want you guys to just reflect on that again and come to the basics, come to the very foundation of our faith. And I think as we reflect on that and remember that without Jesus, we're so lost, that we're dead. We're dead in our sins and transgressions. And that's why Jesus needs to come to give us life and resurrect us with Jesus. And now we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And the more we realize that again and again, it will give us compassion for those who are not in that relationship with Jesus yet. You're not saved just for yourself. We're not saved just for ourselves. We're saved, and we also have this privilege to be able to share that good news with others, that we too, once, were alienated with God, but now we're reconciled to Him. and that God has called us to be His ambassadors that bring reconciliation to the world. And the sad reality is, and this is why we go into missions, the sad reality is there's still more than 2 billion people in the world that didn't have access to the gospel. And maybe that's a hard concept for us to understand, because you can go to like lots of churches in Cape Town. We can have 5 Bibles probably in our home if you want. But there are places in the world that didn't have access to the Word of God. They don't have access to a church. They don't have access to someone like you and me that can tell them about who Jesus is. And I'm sure like the people that went to India recently, that you've encountered those people, that there are people that they've never heard about who Jesus is. And that is the reality in more than 2 billion people in the world. And God has given us this amazing privilege, this call to go and make disciples to all nations. Not some nations, not few nations, but all nations. God is committed to His people because He doesn't want people to perish. He doesn't want people to not have the opportunity to hear the gospel and make the decision to give their life to Jesus. Because it is not God's heart that people perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And me and you are blessed. And God has called us, given us this privilege to collaborate with Christ. It's His message. We just have to be available with Him. And I know you don't have to go into the other side of the world, but please do when God's called you to do that. You're called to go unless you're called to stay. Actually, the real calling is the staying. So I hope you check on that. Has God called you to stay or has God called you to go? Have you considered that question? Asking God, are you willing to lay down everything? Leave your home, leave your family, leave your friends. I had to do that 16 years ago. But now actually the going for me is from South Africa, which is really hard. I was like, Jesus, but I'm willing. If God say, time to move on, Jesus is Lord. And it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we sang that song, Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. So maybe you can just watch the, I have to just short video for us. You can do the first one, God's Heart for the Nations. Missions exist because worship doesn't. And in Psalm 2:8, ask of me the nations, and I will give it to you as your inheritance. What are we asking God for? What are we asking Jesus? Are we asking for the next latest thing? That's a cool thing. God is giving us a key of what to ask Him. Ask of Him the nations. And Jesus is worthy for every tribe, every tongue, every people, every language to come to know Him and worship Him. And the sad reality is that many people in the world don't have access. I heard once a quote from, I can't remember who was it, that we hear the gospel over and over and over and over again when more than 2 billion people in the world never heard it once, never heard it for the first time. And it is a challenge for each of us, but it is a privilege. And yes, there are challenges when you go, when you give up everything, but like what we said, Jesus is worthy. And the privilege and the joy is so much bigger than the sacrifice and the challenges. I can never exchange what I've said yes to Jesus to my life before I said yes to Him. And what my greatest joy is when, you know, like, I'll tell you a few stories about Pure. We name her Pure. She's from China. She asked for an English name, but for some reason, the team that I took named her Pure. And she never heard about who Jesus is. And I took a team, I've been to China a few times, but this particular team was in 2010. And there were 10 South Africans of all colors. If you're white South African, the Asians really get confused. Why are you African? A good conversation starter. If you're black, they hardly see black people. So they're always like, always gonna be us Prince. Prince was in Singapore with us. I was like, there's not much black people. So Prince was like a star in Singapore because everyone wanted to touch him and check him, check his hair. And I was like, Prince, easy. I know there's some beautiful Asian girls, but you're on a mission. Yeah. So Pastor D was pretty much in high accountability with him. But then Pastor D said, but Verms, you're exempted. Pastor D was so desperate for me. But yeah, so, and if you're colored, you can also like relate a lot, especially to the Malay Asians, because there's a lot of similarities. So anyways, like it was the first time when I saw like, wow, the redemptive gift of God in South Africans. And maybe it is one of the key that we're waiting to unlock some of the nations of the earth. And there is a prophetic call in this nation for many, many years to be a mission-sending nation, to be a blessing to the nations. And that's why we also see a lot of the attack of the enemy into the diversity of this nation. It's a best training ground for missions. You're so diverse culturally. Yeah, but then we also see the attack of the enemy. Because the enemy doesn't want you to walk into your destiny. The enemy doesn't want you to walk into the redemptive gift of God in your nation. But the thing is, we don't listen to the enemy, right? We are not ignorant of his scheme. No, we are aware of his plans. And we resist him. And when we resist him, he flees away from us. So, anyways, back to that story with Pure in 2010. And I thought Pure only wants to hang out because there was a team of 10 people with 9 guys, 1 girl. And so I thought, like, this Chinese girl only wants to hang out with us because we're mostly guys, you know? I mean, but then, because she also didn't want to do anything about Jesus, she was very honest with us. She just wants to learn English. We did, like, English clubs. We call them English Corner. If you heard, English Corner is basically teaching people English, conversational English. And 3 weeks later, Pure gave her life to Jesus. And then you never know, right? Because like, you guys have been on short-term missions, you have like questions, is this really effective? No, like never question what God wants to do. Just be obedient, do your part. The things that you can't do, that means you have to pray for that or even consider maybe if it's really a burden in your heart, maybe God's called you to go back or entrust them with other Christians. And that's why working in partnership with long-term people, if there are any, the local church is so key when we go on short-term missions because they're the one that will follow up. And if there's none, that's an opportunity for us to pray, God, am I called to be here and be that long-term worker in this place? But then I heard that Pure actually walk in discipleship with one of our contacts, and she was like a strong pillar in the house church. A year later, I went back with another team, and then the team said like, hey, like our translator, she said she knows you. I was like, oh, what's her name? It's like Pure. She was translating the year after I went back. And then she asked me, because she said it was really special for her that she came to know the gospel through South Africa, South Africans. And she asked me to baptize her, and we can't do this kind of baptism in China, right? Like, it's, unless you're in like a registered church, but in the house church, it's quite legal to do all the activities we did. We baptized her in a bathtub at a friend's apartment. And I was just like, wow, like, it's just so, so special. And what a privilege to be able to do that. And then a few years later, Pure was working in Brunei. And Brunei is one of the most close nation. It's a country in Southeast Asia, in Borneo, the island of Borneo, where Malaysia, part of it's Malaysia and Indonesia, just south of the Philippines. And Pierre said to me, I don't think I'm here just to work. I think I'm here to share the gospel with the Muslims. I was like, wow, this girl in 2010 didn't know Jesus. And then a few years later, actually 2 years ago, she was traveling and she had the opportunity to go to Egypt. And then from Egypt, she went to Tanzania. And then she said to me, do you have any friends in Zambia? Because she wants to spend Christmas with like an orphanage. And a friend of mine started an orphanage in Livingstone, so I linked her with her. And they said to me, please send more people like Pure. And she was such a blessing to them. Now, and then she went back from there. Actually, she came to South Africa. And it was just such a joy. Like all the like that South African team that I told you, the 10 people outreach, majority of them were from Cape Town. And they actually hosted her because I was only here for 1 day. I had to fly. So I just arranged for them to like look after Pure. And it was just so special that she was, I came to Cape Town just for that 1 day actually, because I was in Durban, and just to introduce her to our community and just to see like what God can do when we do the short-term themes. You just don't know, right? And yeah, there's always a cool story for me. And she even raised funds for the orphanage in Livingstone that for the last year, January last year, because she was in December 2015. January last year, that they have enough food for that whole month. You know, and it's her Chinese friends back in China. And this is something also that I've been praying, the redemptive call of God for China. Yes, we see all the other things that we don't like, but hey, but God has a calling in this nation to be a blessing to the rest of the nations too. So as every nation on earth, God has a redemptive call. And it's not only when God bless us, it's never just for our own enjoyment. It's always to be a blessing to others. So yeah, but that's the reality in many parts of the world. So I'm going to encourage you guys to pray and ask the Lord, God, what is my part? Now, when we love Jesus, when we ask the question, who is Jesus to us? And if Jesus is everything to us and we love him, then we learn to love what he loves. Now, we learn to feel the pain that he feels for the people that are lost, that don't know him yet. Now, so ask Jesus, how can I bring joy to your heart? How can I be a part of seeing your dreams come true? Revelation 7:9. That's a picture. That's where we're heading, right? And we're getting there. And we're called to be a part of seeing these people to come to know Jesus, that they too can worship him. So ask the Lord, God, what is my part? And you might be called to just be in Cape Town. And that's your primary impact. But God's called you to invest where you are not, to participate in God's global purpose. And maybe that's through prayer, maybe going on our Let's Go outreaches, maybe supporting others so that they can go. But the other main thing that we can do is pray for the nations. That's where everything starts. That's where God shared the secrets of his heart to us. And the other thing is that the nations has come, like Matthew said. How are we seeing them? Are we kind of intimidated by it? Are we feeling it's a threat? Or are we seeing it as an opportunity? The other day I heard there's like 50,000 Somalis in Cape Town. I think it'd be really sad if Christians only see it as a threat to us or like discomfort, or we see it as an opportunity. We cannot go to Somalia. But hey, they came to us. There's no restrictions. No, Jesus even made it easier for you. No, instead of you going to Somalia, they came, they're here. No, so God will give you a choice. Either he send you to Somalia or reach out to the Somalians in Cape Town. But it doesn't matter, right? Whether you go or you stay, that's your love response to Jesus. That's your obedience. That's where you feel the most joy and fulfillment in your calling. But I want us to just get back into this also, that our highest calling is to know God, to know whom we have believed and convinced that he is able. It's in the person, the personal relationship of Jesus Christ. That is our highest calling, to commune with him, to walk with him. And then we all have a common calling as Christians. We have to grow in our discipleship, in Christ-like character, in our reading, understanding of the word, in our witness, that we're all called, regardless of what you do in life, and we have all a common calling. And that's why this is such a beautiful thing, being in this community, right? And we inspire and encourage each other and steer each other to walk into that common calling that we have in Jesus. But then each of us also has a specific calling. And being a coach, like Coach here, or a lawyer like Megan or Michelle, now Dr. Agbabra, or you're in a season of studying right now, or you're a chef, whatever you do, now, like, one is not more important than the other. As long as you're walking in obedience with God, with what He's called you to do. And what is that specific calling? And I was going to preach on that, actually, but don't have time, but that'll be for other times. but just remember, we have a higher calling to know God, commune with Him, walk with Him, and we all have a common calling to grow in our discipleship, in our relationship to the Word, relationship to the community around us, our witness. And then we all have a specific calling that God has called us to do. And one is not more important than the other or more holier than the other. And I remember one of my closest friends, we did a trip together from Shanghai to Moscow by train. This was in 2007. It was like a week being on a train. It was almost like 9,000 kilometers. It's possible. and I remember David, like at this stage, David was doing his master's in law at Oxford University. He did his undergrad at Cambridge. And then David said to me, he inveigh what I do. I was like, no ways, I inveigh what you do. You know. And then we had this conversation. I was like, but David, if God's called you to be a lawyer, you should be the best lawyer. Be a light and salt in that sphere of society, in that sphere of influence. Because you can be influencing people that I can't go as a missionary. I said, but if God's called you to be a missionary, then be obedient. Lay down being a lawyer. No, because God is worthy. Jesus is worthy. But I said, but don't think being a missionary is more holy than being a lawyer. Because then you are doing a disservice to mission because you're being disobedient. Yeah, but it's in that place of like coming to Jesus and laying down everything and being open to Him. God, what is it that you've called me to do? Now, like what I've said, that regardless of where we are, whether here in Cape Town or we're going, we all have a part to play in seeing God's global purpose fulfilled. And it's just finding what is my place, what is my role. And it's in that place of walking in your high end calling and communing with God that you will understand that and get the confirmation. You know, and actually, I want to close with the scripture from 1 Peter 5:10. God himself, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God himself, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I just really felt, Matthew is going to do the missionary call later and the altar call. But I just sense also that we're at the end of the year, and the end of the year, normally a lot of people, like, you're just tired, you're stressed, a lot of pressure, you know, and that's why I started with all those things, like, who is Jesus to us? Because we need to come back into perspective of who we are, who Jesus is, but also who we are in Jesus. We read that scripture that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, right? But when you're in that place that maybe you're just tired, you're stressed, and there's a lot of pressure at work or with your studies, I just remember that your circumstances doesn't define you, and your peace and your joy doesn't depend on your situation. It depends in your foundation, in that relationship with Jesus. Jesus, we sang earlier, is our hope, our healer, our freedom, our joy, our peace. He's everything. And His promise in 1 Peter 5:10, maybe you need restoration. He said, I myself, God Himself, restore. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to restore health. He said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Who do you go to? Who do you go to when you're weary and burdened? Do you come to Jesus? We can go into all sorts of places, but we're still restless and tired and weary. It's only in that place of coming to Jesus that we find rest. Psalm 51:12. God was the ones to restore the joy of your salvation. Maybe you lost the joy of your salvation. God wants to restore the joy of your salvation. And Psalm 23:3, He restore my soul. And Deuteronomy 30, chapter 3, verse 3, and the message says, God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. Whatever is it that need restoring, God himself wants to restore. And maybe you're in a place also that you're in a crossroad, that you're making decisions, and you just really want to know what is the will of God, that you just want to follow Jesus. You're presented with lots of opportunities, and you need to make a decision, and you don't want to miss on what God has. God is faithful. He said he himself will confirm. He'll confirm through circumstances. He'll confirm through others. But above all, he'll confirm through his word. That's why it's important that we spend time with the word. He is faithful. Maybe you need some strengthening right now. He said, God himself. He said, he himself will strengthen you. Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Guard and arm yourself with the joy of the Lord, because circumstances can steal our joy and deter us from walking in the joy of our salvation. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Maybe you just need to surrender some of your fears to God and to remind yourself also that God is with you. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. And maybe you're also in that place that you just need God to establish you. No, because you're like, oh, is this really what I'm called to do, or is this really worth it? And maybe just like not so sure about certain things. And Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord build the house, the builders labor in vain. And you don't want to be laboring in vain. So you just like want God to be establishing that foundation and everything that you're doing. Proverbs 16:9, that the heart of man plan his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Now we have lots of plans, good ideas. But hey, we want the God idea, right? We want the God plans. We want God to be establishing our steps. We don't want just have good plans and good things to do or good ideas. We want those things that's established by God. The things that the Lord established. It says Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. So I'll finish with, I have lots of stories to tell, but I am mindful of time, and I want Matthew to pray for us. I told him he'll do the prayer. I just finished with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. So yeah, maybe you need restoration, confirmation, strengthening, or establishing. God is faithful. He said he himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen.